Blog Talk Radio.
The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention is working to help keep you and your community safe from the threat of novel or new coronavirus. Take the following everyday steps to help avoid the spread of all respiratory viruses. Wash your hands often with soap and water for at least 20 seconds. Cover your cough or sneeze with a tissue. Throw the tissue away and then wash your hands. Avoid touching your eyes, nose, and mouth. Clean and disinfect frequently touched objects or surfaces, such as remote controls and doorknobs. Avoid close contact with people who are sick. And stay home if you are sick. Call your healthcare provider if you develop fever, cough, or difficulty breathing. For more tips, visit cdc.gov.
Good morning, and welcome to Saturday Mornings with Joy Keys. I'm your host, Joy Keys. I want to thank you so much for tuning in. You can follow me on Twitter at Joy Keys. Also, check me out on Facebook, Saturday Mornings with Joy Keys, and on Instagram, Saturdays with Joy Keys. I would love to hear from you, so email me. I'm SaturdaysWithJoyKeys@hotmail.com. You can check the show out on Spotify, Stitcher, iTunes, iHeartRadio, Amazon Music, as well as here at Blog Talk Radio. I hope you've been enjoying the shows. I hope you've been sharing the shows. Thank you, thank you, and thank you. You can also donate to the show with the PayPal account, Saturdays with Joy Keys. Check it out. You know, this takes money, energy, time to do these things, to make them successful, to find you the guests. So please don't feel shy. $5, $10, whatever you might have is always welcome. This morning, I have a wonderful author who is delving, if I will use that word, into the waters. Her book is called Shallow Waters, and she is the former editor-in-chief of Heart and Soul magazine and managing editor of Beauty Sense magazine. She is on the line now. Belize? Good morning, Anita.
Hi. Good morning. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Thank you so much for calling in.
Awesome. Yay, I did it right.
No worries. We connected. I prayed to Yemaya and Obatala and all the other Orishas today. Please, everything go well. Yeah. That's what I said.
Awesome. And it's working out so far.
So this is a really great book. You have a lot of history and then the religion. And I can tell you, when I was growing up, I think the first time I knew about, like, Yoruba religion, I started dating a guy. And his whole family, like brothers, sisters, and aunts, they were all into Yoruba. His aunt and his uncle, they were, like, priests and priestesses. They had ceremonies. The whole shebang. So it was like a whole new thing. So I learned about, you know, that from them and the different Orishas and things like that. So now to see your book, I'm like, you know, I was 20s, I'm 51. And now to see a book dealing with the topic, but blending it with our American history is really awesome. I have to tell you, really awesome.
Thank you so much. Yeah, you know, it's really interesting because there are so many people who had never heard of Yemaya or the Orishas and didn't even realize, even with Charlemagne, who published it with Black Privilege Publishing under Atria and Simon & Schuster, he had read the book and, you know, loved it. And then, you know, like we were in the process of signing it. And I was like, wait, do you know who Yemaya is? And he's like, yeah, the main character in your book. And I was like, oh, Yemaya, I mean, she is an Orisha. She is a goddess. She has been around longer than we can even, know, because originally, her stories were passed down orally. The first written accounts of Yemaya are from the 1500s. And, you know, like, she is our original mermaid. And I was telling him, I was like, I bet you've heard her name. And he's like, what do you mean? I was like, do you remember the poem from Love Jones? And he starts reciting the poem because he knows it by heart. And he
gets
to the part where he says, are you Yemeya? Oh, hell nah, you must be Oshun, right? Like,
mm-hmm,
I was like,
mm-hmm.
He's like, we have been saying it in our culture this whole time and not knowing who she is. And I was like, and Beyonce, you know, is giving life to the Orishas as well, with she is, you know, she has so much Oshun energy. And then in Black Parade, she says her baby sister is repping Yemeya. So I love how this beautiful African spirituality is on the rise.
So, yeah. Now, how did you learn about the Orishas and Yemeya and Obadala and Alegba? How did you learn about them?
Similar to you, I was younger. I was in my teens, and I went to UC Berkeley, and just there were so many people who were in the religion that were my friends, and so I had learned about it, and I was like really did with Oshun and with Yemeya. So Yemeya is who Shallow Waters is about. She is a black mermaid. She is said to be the one who watched over our ancestors as we went on the middle passage. She watched over the ones that made it here and watched over the ones who either jumped overboard or were thrown overboard, and she watched over their souls. And then Oshun is the Orisha of the sweet things in life, of sensuality, of dancing. Her, you know, she loves honey, all of the sweet things in life. And so those were actually the two that I really connected with at first. And this was, I learned them at UC Berkeley. And I would say my experience in the religion is very spiritual and individual, not necessarily a part of a religion, right? Like I'm not fully in the religion, but I feel completely connected through my ancestors. My ancestors are from Nigeria and Ghana, and so I feel a deep ancestral connection, and that's pretty much where all of this comes from, because I just feel like I feel like Yemeya is so huge, and everyone can have their own relationship with her, but also having a deep reverence for people who are within the religion and who know her on a whole nother level. As far as, like you said, you know, they have many rituals for her and celebrations. I know in Brazil, they have that huge celebration for her where everyone dressed in white and they put boats out into the ocean, little tiny boats out into the ocean with their wishes. And she's celebrated throughout the African diaspora, which is really beautiful that she survived, because there were times where people were murdered for practicing their religion. And so
they were murdered for it being anything true to themselves. Let's put it that way. And then that, like we learned, you take away their religion, you take away their language, you take away even the way they wear their hair, the ceremonies, because people were afraid, you know, the white slave owners were afraid of what are those people doing out there? Are they hitting some kind of spell on us?
Exactly.
You know, in your book, you even talk about, you know, is she a witch? So that's the label that is put on. One of the things I do love is the some of the other characters are also really great. And now this will be a really good book, I think, for high school students.
I think
because,
so too.
because you're teaching them.
A way to relearn that time of history. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You're relearning the African traditions, or one, let's put that, one African tradition, because Africa is a huge continent. And then you put in these different characters, like Waldo, who I'm assuming is Ralph Waldo Emerson. Is that Is that
Yes.
And then you have a doctor character, Dr. Richard, and I think he's also based on, there's a real true doctor, Richard, I think Eels, I think it is, or Ellis or something like that, who had a house, and he was part of the Underground Railroad. And so I'm thinking of these characters. Am I hitting it on a point here? Is this, am I getting close, warm?
You are. Well, Richard, this there was the one that you're talking about, but this is Richard Dillingham was actual historical figure as well.
As well,
and
okay.
Yep, and he was. Well, I don't want to tell the story, but
okay. So we don't want to tell the story.
If people Google,
let's put it this way: you have a
what
lot.
He did, but yeah,
yes. So I'm going to be giving away some copies of your book, and they can try to win a copy, and yes, and learn about it. But the blending of the African story and the American story. Now, how did you decide? Where they were going and the characters they were going to bump into. I mean, how many renditions did you have to write in order to get to the final copy?
Yeah, oh, girl, that's the question, right? there were so many renditions. But what it really felt like, I felt like I was being guided. And the actual characters would come to me in ways that I wasn't really thinking about, other than Harriet Tubman. That one I knew as I was going in, right? I knew Harriet Tubman. The others came through in ways like with Ralph Waldo Emerson. Like this one day, I like woke up and my friend sent me a text with one of his quotes on it, and I was like, oh, you know, I love him, you know. And then something happened where someone else said something about him, and then I saw two quotes online by him. And I know that sometimes our phones, you know, send us things that they see on our phone, you know, but
the fact that
someone else said something, like the person who said something didn't see that. And so I was like, okay, let me just see how old Ralph Waldo Emerson was during this time. And it totally worked out, and I was like, okay, so he's in it. So it felt like I was guided by the universe as far as what characters were to be in the story. And I wanted to make sure, because some of the ones that are a little bit more obscure, I did some research to find people who are not as famous, and so that we can learn about what they did. And so some of those I actually looked up to find who was around this time and who did some amazing work in the liberation of African people.
So, you know, when I first started reading, I was like, wow, there's a lot of sympathetic characters, I'll say, let's put it that way. And I was like, kind of feeling like, do we really need all those sympathetic? But I was talking with someone. I was like, well, that's how it had to happen, because we needed help from, you know, sympathetic white characters. Otherwise, a lot more people would be dead. Let's put it that way. And so we had to work together. Did you have any inkling about that issue? The number of, like, did you say, okay, I only put one or two in here, or I really want to make, you know, Harriet Tubman stand out. What, how did you decide that part? Or was it not a thought at all?
The interesting thing about how this book came along, which was a little bit different than some of my other writing, is that there was no outline. And I didn't even know where the story was going. I didn't know how it was going to end. It was literally, it felt to me as if Yemaya was sitting on the bed and telling me. So the amount of sympathetic characters I didn't even think about as far as how many were going to be in there. And what I've been saying is that to me, this is my love letter to Black women. And I wanted this book to be a tool in Black women and Black girls remembering who we really are. And what that means is, like, I had said this before, but there was this video that I posted where it starts off with, like, this little girl, and she's all beat up, like, has cuts all over her, and it's this dance. And she starts off looking like that, and then she has this staff in her hand, and she hits it, and all of a sudden she's in this beautiful African garb, and she keeps hitting the staff, and she changes into different African garb, and, like, this, you know, beauty, strength, knowing who she is. And so that's what I mean when I'm saying let us remember who we really are, because if we connect to our African spirituality, you know, we might not remember our language and all of those different things that we lost during this time, but we can connect to our spirit and our spirituality. We can connect to our ancestors. And that's a part of us remembering who we really are. And once we remember who we really are, there's really no stopping us once we're connected. First of all, Black women are, to me, they are God. They are amazing. They are beautiful. They are caring. They are talented. Like, it's really, truly amazing. I mean, I think we saw
Exactly. The Olympics just recently. But, you know, think about it. We're women. And then we're Black women. So we are dealing with these issues of racism and sexism in our society.
Yep.
From, you know, our pay scale, from our relationships, from trying to get, you know, the job that you want, but then somebody else's, you know, or when you get the job, you don't get the raise that's equivalent to somebody else.
Yep.
So you're fighting in all aspects. Now, you talking about women and helping women, you had another campaign, Zero F's Given. You want to tell the audience a little bit about that?
Yes, absolutely. So Zero F's Given is a campaign and a nonprofit that I started to help people who have experienced any type of sexual violence. I was sexually molested when I was 7, and you know, for me, I wasn't even able to talk about it until I was in my 20s, and the amount of guilt and shame that was surrounded by it, it was as if I was not allowed to be myself. Like, I didn't allow myself to be myself because I had so much guilt and shame. And I did my own healing around it and actually experienced healing. And I was like, oh my gosh. And this was later on in life. Like, as far as when I did that healing, it's like my late 30s. And, you know, for most of my life, I was running away from sensual or sexual energy. You know, I was fully scared of anything that had to do with pleasure. You know, it was, and I had 3 kids, so it wasn't like I didn't have it, but it just would feel like a chore. And it was not fulfilling to me, my sensual life. And so once I went through my healing and I was like, oh my gosh, this is all a playground. I was like, if I can heal from this, other people can. And I want to show how I did. And, you know, I know what it feels like to be so scared of even talking about it because of the guilt and shame. That, you know, a lot of times the quote-unquote victim carries all of the shame of the perpetrator, right? Like, we carry
and the problem is people don't believe them. People don't believe you when you say something. And even to this day, which is the craziest thing, even to this day, people have that experience that when they tell someone, somebody hurt me, the other party, maybe mother, father, aunt, uncle, whatever, grandmother, they say, you don't know what you're talking about, or don't say anything, you know, like try to blame it on the victim, like what were you doing over there, why were you doing this, what were you wearing, all these things. And it's just crazy with all the knowledge that we have today, commercials that you see, films that you see, and people still have this dissonance that they can't seem to overcome. You have a master's degree in spiritual psychology. What does your degree tell you about why people are not believing, accepting, understanding a person who has been a victim of sexual assault, sexual abuse?
Well, all of this, all of it is a mirror. So if we are seeing someone who's going through that, and for us to admit it, we're admitting, you know, whether it's, oh, it's been in our family for generations, like, There's more than just admitting what's happening within this one experience. And so many of us are completely scared of our shadow side, right? Like the side that experiences guilt, shame, sadness. You know, we run away from those, or the majority of us run away from those experiences. And so I'm sure there's many other reasons why, you know, a parent might not believe a child, or someone, you know, someone in the family might not believe, but a lot of times it's like, oh, well, then you're admitting it about ourselves and our family. And it's like, we just want to keep it hidden. And it could be, especially if it is in the family line, which it is in my family line. And, well, actually, I won't say that anymore. I would say I've stopped it. Like, I've been so vocal about it. And, you know, my family, and I love my family, but there was this sickness that was going through it. And I've been so vocal about it because I was like, there is not going to be one more child that experiences this. And I'm going to be loud, and I'm going to tell everyone that they're doing it. And it's just going to stop because it is a sickness. And as long as
you have to you have to shine a light on it in a sense, you know, to cast out the shadow. Yeah. I hate to sound kind of, you know, cliche, if you will, but that I think really works. Now you have like t-shirts, sweatshirts, tank tops that people can buy from there to support the organization and the work that you're doing.
Yeah.
If somebody wanted to volunteer with you, how would they volunteer with the organization? Is that something they could do or?
The way that they can volunteer right now is if they are a psychologist and if they want to, a POC, a person of color psychologist. So I concentrate on people of color because when I was in my healing, it was all white people around me. And I was like, okay, I need a space for people of color who are on this healing path. And a huge thing that I realized when I was able to heal that part of my system is that I was able to step into my power. And it, you know, on a whole other level, I was in powerful positions, like quote unquote, right? Like editor in chief of Heart and Soul. But when I would walk into, a board meeting or something like that, and I wasn't able to hold my own because I would feel that even though I was in the power position, I would feel that other people had power over me and maybe their ideas were better. And where, you know, once I did that healing, I was so sure about what it is that I wanted, what were my intentions in sharing. I know my wisdom, you know, like it just had me be able to really stand within myself with power. And so I wanted to create a space.
Go ahead, sorry. Go ahead.
No, I was just saying I wanted to create a space for people of color, and
I think that's really important. People of color need that. You know, I'm always my show didn't start out with people of color, but I just started veering toward that because I felt the need. So anytime I try to do a show, I try to bring people of color who are either experts on or dealing with the subject. I can't do that 100% of the time, but 90% of the time I can do that. And even if I can't, I try to focus on concern or need to be explained. There's a lot of myths around them. So like my next show is dealing with schizophrenia, and I had another show about bipolar disorder. So there's the myths around these things. So let's get the real deal about what's going on with these issues. Now, I was reading that you're going to have to explain this to me. Ketchup on quiche?
I really do love it.
You did say that. Now, what I need is for you to have like the hot sauce in your pocketbook, because that might give a little to it,
hot,
you know.
Hot sauce and ketchup. And the thing is, that's from when I was young, and I still like it. It's so funny. I can't believe I put that somewhere. I don't even remember.
I do a little research on people, okay? I just try to find stuff on y'all people. But that was the funniest thing, because I remember eating quiche when I was a kid, but I just remember it being like this, like, hooty-tooty, like, you know, upper class, like, oh, I'm eating quiche,
right,
like,
yes.
You know? So then
even
I saw
the name,
ketchup,
right?
I was like, but it's eggs. That's what it is. It's like baked eggs with some stuff inside of it. You know, I mean, I'm sure people would hate to hear me say that, like chefs probably. Oh, my God. So what other foods do you like to eat with these weird combinations? Do you have any other weird combinations we should know about?
Let me see. Weird. Well, you know what's interesting? I don't have it now, but I used to love it when I was younger, when I could eat. I don't eat gluten anymore. But my mom would make these marmalade sandwiches with cheddar cheese on them and send me to school with them. So my mom is from St. Kitts and then moved to England. So, you know, it's more of like a British thing, I guess. And,
No. Let me tell you a story. You love it, right? If you love the flavor of the marmalade and cheese. My grandfather used to make me, guess what, on white bread, bologna and cheese with butter on one side and jelly on the other side.
Yes, right?
And I remember loving that. And when I told him about when I was adult, he was like, I did that? Really? I said, yes, Papa, you used to make those sandwiches for me. And I ate them. Like, I didn't know. Like, they were good.
They were so, it's so good. I guess it's like the salt and the sweet mix. Why is my mouth watering now? Wow.
Oh, my God.
Well, watering.
I think their mouths are going to be watering to read your book. You do talk about food in the book. She does talk about some good food, make you want to go cook something. But there's a lot of magic in the book and connections, you know, scary moments where you think everything's going to go to hell, but it doesn't. And then there are other times where you're like, I don't know if it's going to not, if it's like, is somebody going to die here? So she got a whole bunch of stuff going on. Action. She has romance. Oh my God, the romance. We needed like 6,000 violins for the romance in here. Okay. So are you going to come up with a sequel, some other Arisha or something like that?
Yes. Yes, I won't give it away, but yes, you pretty much kind of hit the nail on the head just now.
okay, good. Well, I hope that you can come back on and discuss the sequel, and I would wish you much success with this book, and like I said, I'm going to give away some copies. Follow me at Joy Keys on Twitter, Saturday Mornings with Joy Keys on Instagram, Saturdays with Joy Keys. Mornings with Joy Keys on Facebook. And Anita, where are you? What's your handle online? People can follow you.
Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. I am Anita Kopach. AnitaKop as in Paul, AC as in cat, Z as in zebra.
Excellent. Well,
thank you so much
for coming on this morning, and I wish you so much success. Go get some quiche and put some ketchup. No, hot sauce on it.
Thank you.
All right. I'll
get
talk
your
to you
bologna
later.
Cheese and jelly sandwich.
Yes, I will do that. All right. Bye-bye.
Bye. Thank you.
Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. I'll be doing a show on schizophrenia coming up next, so you want to stay tuned. You can always call in 516-387-1745. You guys have a great weekend.